Chris Hannigan has been here before, most recently about 3 years ago, but even back prior to that, he will share some songs with us today and we'll get to know him again. I was mentioning to him, even though he's been here before, you might be hearing him for the first time today. I think you'll enjoy hearing him. And here he is, Chris Hannigan.
Mountains and rivers in the daylight, blue skies in the morning, black skies at night. Rain when it's coming down and the sun when it sets. The beauty in this town, it's as good as it gets. Oh, oh, believe me, I know it's true. Trees, little birds and the buzzing bees, songs that we sing, all the love that it brings. Rain when it's coming down and sun when it dries it up. The beauty in this town I can't ever get enough. Oh, believe me, I know it's true.
Chris Hannigan at the Saturday Light Brigade. I looked up to see when you first appeared here. It was 2012.
My goodness.
Does that sound plausible?
more than a decade.
I'll show you a picture later, but I think I found it. But it's nice to have you here again. That's what matters, is the here and now.
Sure.
Tell me about that song.
Oh, your world is my world too. Ty and I were just speaking, and I wanted to thank Ty again for connecting me and inviting me here. But we were just talking about Jeremy Caywood, and Jeremy and I, for many weeks at a time, for inspiration and for collaboration of sorts, because a lot of our artists. We think we have to work just by ourselves or something like that, especially a solo singer-songwriter, right? It's like, there I am laboring in my, upstairs office or whatever by myself trying to, guide in some inspiration. It's like we have our friends to call on. So we would come up with a phrase every week and send it back and forth to each other and try to write a song about it. This is a very common songwriter's game. And that was the phrase. That song literally took me years to write for some reason. It's such a simple song, but I had the chorus, and then it was like to put the verses together, again, ended up being very simple, but I think it's sort of a distillation. And is the idea of it is, is that we live in a beautiful world and your world is my world too, and we ought to all be able to enjoy that. And so there's like a, you know, some descriptions of nature and the cycles of time. And
was
know.
That the phrase was your world is my world too?
Yes.
That's a great phrase. Jeremy K. Wood is another local singer-songwriter, and you heard Chris refer to Ty, who books our program. And yeah, these songwriter circle prompts and challenges are fun. It gives you a constraint that you might need in order to be able to compose or get outside of your own head a little bit. And what a great prompt that would be. When did you start doing this? Were you playing in high school or when you were younger even?
Sure. I picked up the guitar in, I want to say, middle school. A friend of mine, his father loved the Beatles, and a couple friends of mine's fathers had loved the Beatles. And so, learning all those classic, American and British songbook primarily. Standards is really what I'll call them. Cat Stevens and the Beatles and, Bob Dylan, of course, and all the legends. So I started learning those and started playing out too in high school and college. I was hired by my college to go and play at this luncheon I've been sort of a working songwriter, performer, more so performer, player and performer for more than 20 years now. It's just, I just learn one song and then learn another, and then, do you know this one? Do you know this one? And sometimes it's like, do you know this one? And it's like, no, but then I have to write my own version of something like that. There's a Van Gogh song that I'll do that kind of came about that way. Someone wanted me to play Starry, Starry Night, and I tried to learn it, and there are some cover songs that are impossible to learn. Like, I think, not impossible, but, like, don't suit the personality of the person or something like that. In any case, so it might be a nice segue into another song. But yeah, I've been at it for a while, you know?
And are you originally from the Pittsburgh area?
Yeah. I grew up in Shaler. I live in Lawrenceville now, just really 10 minutes from my childhood home.
And then college was where?
College was Waynesburg and Pitt, and then post-college, California for a couple years, and then really back to Pittsburgh to settle down and done some traveling and, did a little European thing in college for 6 or 8 weeks, and otherwise, yeah, I'm a bit of a yinzer. I have a three-year-old son now, and he says, let's go down there, you know? And I go, where did he learn to talk like that? Because I try not to. I don't know. He's just absorbing it from the local atmosphere or something like that. But yeah, born and raised here, for sure.
I can think of far worse influences if he wants to say gum bands and Eagle and Stillers and Phelim.
Yes.
Let him go. This is Chris Hannigan, who is the person you're hearing now. And let's take a listen. What would you like to do next?
I'm thinking maybe this Van Gogh song that I mentioned. I can try it. Thank you.
and go. He was tall as a sunflower, but he made of gold. He was lying in a field where all the sower seeds had sown. His eyes shimmered like the starry skies, all weathered and cold. We shot a game of pool and he won easily. In a cafe that was dimly lit, in a place down by the sea, there were pretty girls around him. They were trying to get peace, saying we'll please. Said I feel just like a stranger in a stranger's land. Da 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 da. Around the kitchen table, potato soup we ate. Talked of everything we loved and everything we hated. And he showed me that scar that was wrapped around his ear. And he handed me the knife and said, I carry this everywhere. He had paint in his hair. Crazy as a crow now, falling through the air, and he had scars on his hands, and said, I feel just like a stranger in a stranger's land.
Chris Hannigan, that's a nice song. Did you call it Van Gogh?
Dream of Van Gogh. There's a little bit of dreamlike imagery, like him handing me the knife and stuff, which is bizarre, which is very, to me, dreamlike. Dreams are sort of surrealistic, and, of course, anything can happen. And, Dream of Van Gogh. And, obviously, if you, as we've all sort of absorbed a lot of his art over the years, a lot of imagery, you know, from that song too. It's kind of writing a song from a series of paintings or something like that, right?
Yeah, as I think about Don McLean's song, really hard. I mean, that song is very personal for him as a writer. I'm sure it's been covered by a lot of people.
It'd be interesting to see because of course American Pie right outshines that song, but that also is such a well-known song. But it'd be interesting to see what covers might be.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, And I Love You So has been covered by hundreds and hundreds of people, but American Pie, I know of only a couple. There may be more. I haven't researched it. And Starry, Starry Night. Again, it's such an intimate song. And I Love You So is more of a universal feeling, I think, than how one feels about an artist or how one reflects upon the passing years.
Sure.
Interesting. You clearly, you know your music, actually. You like, clearly, like Don McLean. Are there other... I hate to limit you, but
no, I mean, right. It is. We live in the era of like infinite accessibility or something like right that. So I could, you know, I could. There was an artist that particularly inspired me early on. His name is Jude, and I saw him open for Train at a club in North Oakland that is, of course, not there. Maybe Graffiti? Is that?
That sounds about right.
I for sure know that was a club. Graffiti might be in. One of them was in the Strip District, but
Rosebud was in the
Strip District. Okay, yeah. So it wasn't there, but I saw the guy from Five for Fighting there, who that was also sort of an early influence, too. Just to be able to see these artists so up close and personal, and purchase their CD and get into the world of that songwriter. But this artist Jude, who has sort of fallen off into obscurity. I think he might live in Paris or something like that, and has put out a couple albums. But he had a major label deal. He had this record called No One Is Really Beautiful, which, again, is like the opposite of what a pop song maybe should be or a universal statement or something like that. Like, it's an odd thing to say. There are some interesting songs, but mostly, like, his voice was, like, really magnetic to me and anyway, but also Train, I love Train and I still listen to Train recently. Like, it's come up again too. These 90s artists, you see kids with Smashing Pumpkins shirts on and Nirvana shirts, and it's like taking me back to my musically formative years before I played a guitar or something like that. But yeah, it's just by virtue, I think, of being 43 or whatever I am and, having listened to a lot of music. Weirdly enough, I don't listen to that much music now. I'm inundated, and then I still play quite a few private, like, cover gigs primarily. And so when I go out and play for 3 or 4 hours at a time, I'm so, like, done with music for the day or the 2 days that it's like it's nice when you're in a place like this, and some Greg Brown comes on, and you're like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, that's, I haven't listened to that in years, and so it's those random occurrences where, I don't have my phone with me, and I turn the radio on, and then I hear a song that's, brings me back to a certain place or time or evokes a certain memory that,
important. Recorded? Can people hear your music? I know I was at your Bandcamp site yesterday, and I think there was an older recording there.
For sure, yeah, that's the old recording, and I have a new recording that is set to be released, and Daniel Marcus, great local guitarist, producer. Talk about knowing his music and songs, and can play the bass and the guitar and the electric guitar and has wonderful instruments and microphones. We recorded right prior to the pandemic, prior to my daughter being born and prior to the pandemic. We finished the EP during the pandemic, and I actually have this wonderful, like, wonderfully produced, radio-ready set of songs. I put out one, which is When I'm Gone, which I redid. I had an acoustic version, and then we kind of made a rock version of it. And then there's three other songs, and I can play those here. It's been waiting in the wings. Before my son was born, obviously a lot has happened, right? Since all this. But I have now a son and a daughter and a wonderful family, and I had a whiplash injury right before my son was born, and my life was, like, thrown into a certain chaos that it's one thing to have a child, like a first child, and then a second child, but we were literally prepping, the house for the second child and, getting the room ready and building furniture and all the things you do to prep for a child, and had this whiplash thing, and I've been to hundreds of doctor's appointments, over the past three years now. I'm in PT twice a week for my neck, and it's still not sort of resolved. Fortunately, thanks to the miracles of modern medicine and stuff, it's like I can still go out and play, but it's limited some of my other work opportunities too. So I've just been sort of trying to, walk out of the cave in terms of, like, pursuing the artistry with the same sort of intentionality and purpose that I had, you know, when going into it. And I think, though, I mean, like you're saying, you know, the here and now is really what matters most, too. It's why I decided to come here, because, yeah, it's like sometimes I feel I don't have, like, any artistic momentum anymore. Before the pandemic and all that, it was like that I had this sense of continuity. I was making visual art. I was writing a song every week. And I've still done some of those things, but it just doesn't – there's something that happened, you know, I think during the pandemic that I haven't heard anyone really say, but I think it's like our lives are made of all these patterns, and it's like that particular event, it broke down all these patterns, and it's been so hard to rebuild. Like, just the same familiar faces that you were used to seeing and the conversations that you were having that seemingly were maybe insignificant or whatever it was, you know, for me, it, like, severed so many of those ties that must have been just so important to me, you know, that were literally, like, creating this feeling of, like, propelling me forward or something like that. So it's been this rebuilding process.
Combine that with rapid changes in music recording and delivery, rapid changes in how we communicate with one another.
Yes.
Rapid changes politically and in so many other areas. And it is a little bit like being a train that suddenly hasn't been derailed necessarily, but is expected to operate on a different kind of track than it's been before. And I don't think you're alone in feeling that way. I'm glad you shared that. I do think sometimes that momentum you mentioned, it's hard to detect when you're inside of it, you know, other people observing you or listening to you might detect it
sure.
more, but that's a lot of change too in your life. A couple of kids.
Definitely.
I'm sorry to hear about the neck injury too. That's got to be really difficult to cope with. Chris Hannigan is the voice you are hearing. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for doing it.
Of course.
What would you like to do next?
Since I mentioned the EP, there's a song that I'll be releasing next. And, of course, I can't think of it because I'm in a different sound kind of state at the moment.
Well, if you do that, let me mention that you can learn more about Chris's music, chrishannigan.bandcamp.com, or look for him on Instagram at HanniganChris. I also put a little video of him up on our Facebook page. You can take a look at it if you'd like.
Thanks. So this one's called Lay Me Down.
Wash me in the clear blue water. and set me free. Set me free.
That is Chris Hannigan at the Saturday Light Brigade, and that song is on his forthcoming EP, which will be out soon. I know how that goes. It takes a while to get it all set, ready to go. Who taught you to play? Did you take any lessons?
My friend Andy Petrovich, first of all, that was like maybe fifth or sixth grade. He had already started to play acoustic and electric. I found a guitar in the trash, or my friend found a guitar in the trash that had BB gun, marks in it. I think it had one pickup. It was literally like probably a $50 or $100 guitar. But I got a nice amp and, could play 311 songs or Nirvana songs or something like that. It sounded pretty great plugged in, and wish I still had it. It was kind of a unique instrument. My mom also had an acoustic guitar, like a lot of people, sort of packed away in a closet or sitting around, and kids are so fascinated, with guitars in his instruments in general, right? It's like, what can it do? How does it do it? Guitar, it's actually, I think, a physically sort of demanding instrument to play. It's nice. We should do a ukulele song here, but it takes some finger strength and some endurance. And honestly, I would say almost a level of like temporary obsession to actually get the mechanics down. And once you get over that, it's like, oh, all sorts of, hundreds of song opportunities can open up to you when you learn the basic chords. So honestly, it was like a friend effort, a family effort, because my mom could play too, and my aunt lived next door. She played the harmonica, and she would suggest Peter Gunn or whatever it was, these simple little riff type songs.
Yeah.
And If I Had a Hammer, they were always talking about that one, which I still haven't learned that. I'll learn that, don't worry. Guitar, again, it's like it looks easy enough to play, and then again, once you get past that sort of threshold, it is relatively easy. But a lot of people aspire to it, but again, Ty and I were talking, you know, even playing the guitar is like physically demanding, in a sense, you know, standing up. It's like, it's unnatural. I mean, not that the flute or something is very natural, but, you know, playing a flute in front of us or playing an oboe is like probably a more natural position to be in. But we're expected to stand up and sing and play for several hours sometimes. And, yeah, it can be quite a physical challenge. So not to say I wouldn't recommend it, but for sure start with the ukulele.
Speaking of interesting instruments, you can't see this, but I can't. Chris's guitar, the top of it looks as if it were a spin art project. There's looks like enamel paint on the top, and it looks like it was intentional and not by the luthier. How did that come about?
Someone said, "Hey, did you paint your guitar?" And I said, "Yeah," because I could tell. I said, "Oh, thanks. That wasn't a compliment." Before it started peeling off, it actually looked more presentable, and you know, you could almost imagine that a luthier or guitar designer may have designed it. But I maybe around 2017, 2018, I was in sort of an artistic frenzy where I was just, you know, creating art and primarily just posting it on Instagram. But I had set up a challenge to myself too, which again serves as a good catalyst to get that momentum going. But so I just need to make one piece of art every day. It's hard to make a song every day, but a piece of art, I even just counted a scribble as art. Mm-hmm. which again, it's really the lowest bar as to what art could and should be. But let's maybe not make such a big deal out of it all the time too. So it didn't matter if it was digital art or a scribble in a notebook, or paint. So, you know, I started experimenting with various paints, and I had been like a house painter and stuff too, so I had like a lot of paint around. And I just started like a child, like painting everything, you know, like, oh, I wonder if I painted this chair, or I had an old mirror and I, you know, put some primer on the mirror and, you know, oh, it already has a, you know, a frame around it, for instance. I thought that would be like a unique thing. It turns out it's not a great idea. And paint plus like mirror, it doesn't really work. I'm sure people have tried it before, but I was just on this mindset of like, well, I'm on a desert island and I have paint materials and digital art and, you know, music or whatever. And, I'm just going to start off honestly, like where I left off, which was probably like childhood, you know, like I was always afraid of art in a certain sense. You know, there wasn't much art around, other than like, again, like maybe school sanctioned art or even museum art or something like that. But I felt, yeah, totally like obsessed by this idea of like exploring arts, not necessarily being an artist. Like that also scares me, but like, because it comes with so much, whatever, cultural baggage or something like that. But to totally just be free in expression, you know, again, which I think is more, you know, you should have that as a child or something like that. And so, yeah, finger painting and, you know, Jackson Pollock or whatever it is. It's like to just go wild with this stuff. So it was part of that phase. And then I got embarrassed about, you know, and I started to peel it off or whatever. And
I had a different guitar. I didn't have a reaction to it other than, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that's about. It doesn't look incomplete or inappropriate whatsoever.
In the making and selling of guitars now too, it's interesting that, you know, Fender Custom Shop guitars, which are essentially are like their highest priced guitars, like $3,000-$5,000 and probably more, you know, they relic them, which essentially means like rip the jeans and then sell the jeans, you know? I mean, you know, hit the guitar with a hammer. It turns out also that it is not just that simple of a process, but, you know, we kind of live in the the time of anything goes, but I'm not going to go on and on about it. But it is just it's just funny that like that the most expensive guitars are the ones that sort of look the oldest and most beat up and worn, even though it's all, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, right? It's like it's all a show here. So anyway, I should grab this ukulele we were mentioning.
Yeah, Chris is going to come to the ukulele here. We probably have – we are going to have time for two or three songs. Probably, given their length, we'll get to three. But now we've got this ukulele that actually looks smaller than some ukuleles I've seen.
Ready to roll?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Play it. Yes. There's – well, is it a toy or a tool? You know, it depends on what we do with it. This one is called Lapis Lazuli. I walk out the door on a Saturday night. Fall into the light of the moon. I rose into space, what a beautiful place. Candles light in my room. It's lapis lazuli and mother of pearl. Fingers on strings vibrating the world. I sing along just doing my part. Singing these songs with all of my heart. Kick up my feet as I look around, hearing the hum of the stars and the sound of pulses of love that fly through the air. The good feelings I get from just being there. My cup runneth over like a spring flooded stream, a fresh pint of blood to the heart of a dream. Sometimes a curse and sometimes a cry. Sometimes I sit around and just wonder why. And it's lapis lazuli, mother of pearl. Fingers on strings vibrating the world. I sing along just doing my part. Singing my songs with all of my heart. Lapis lazuli and mother of pearl. Fingers on strings vibrating the world. I sing along just doing my part. Singing these songs with all of my heart. Short little ditty.
Yeah, it's nice. How old are your kids now?
3 and 5, almost 6. February 5th.
They might be looking to grab that ukulele and make some music.
Oh yes.
We should have time for two more, Chris.
Sure. All right. Speaking of my kids, they love to sing. They love to sing this one. Sometimes when you switch keys, the tuning sounds a little odd. They love to sing this one because you'll hear one of the lines is, just put my boots on and walk out the door, or put my shoes on and walk out the door. And so every time we put our shoes on, we sort of think of this, and then we're singing it out the door. My son especially just loves to sing it. This one's called Take It As It Comes.
I don't make plans much anymore. Just put my boots on and walk out the door. The sun might shine or the rain might fall. I find my rhythm through it all. I take it as it comes, take it as it goes. Don't need a reason. take it as it comes, take it as it goes. Old friends calling from way back when, saying, hey buddy, how you been? I just smile at the moment, breathe. Ain't no rush when you're shooting a breeze. Take it as it comes, take it as it goes. Don't need a reason, I don't need to know. The road might bend, the crazy wind might blow. I'll take it as it comes, take it as it goes. Let it roll, let it sway, like the river finds its way to the ocean, back to its home. I'm learning how to just let go, let it flow. Take it as it comes, take it as it goes. Don't need a reason, I don't need to know. The road might bend, the crazy wind might blow. I'll take it as it comes, take it as it goes.
Another nice song from Chris Hannigan. The songs he's shared with us today cover a lot of territory emotionally and style-wise, and it's been a lot of fun to have you. Thank you. There is time for one more. Anything else you wanted to say, though, before you play that song?
Just thanks to Adelina and my son and my daughter for, you know, for putting up with me.
I meant that. What are their names, your kids?
Gabby and Raffi. Gabriella and Raphael. So we call Raffi. We call Raffi Raffi Taffy. But he's my wild son. And then Gabriella is my little angel, my little daughter. She's the sweetest. They're both the sweetest. Well, you know how it is with two.
Yes, they sound just that way. What would you like to finish up with?
Let's end on a good optimistic note, and it's this one is "Things Are Looking Up." This again will be on the new EP here for the spring, we'll say. And thanks, Larry, for having me.
Oh, you bet. Notice how he said spring, but he didn't give the year. That's a good good way to do it.
Be out when the flowers bloom.
I've been staying in, resting up. I've been sleeping a little better than I was. I've been checking in instead of checking out. I've been listening instead of running my mouth. I've been wandering around my hometown. I've been looking and finding new eyes to see. I've been saving up these songs for you. I've been seeing red, but I've been singing them blues. I've been reaching back to the day that it all began. Things are looking up. Things are looking up. Things are let it all go. I should have stopped myself and just taken it slow. It wouldn't hurt so much. It's easy to say that now. I've been saving up these songs for you. I've been seeing red, but I've been singing them blues. I've been reaching back to the day that it all began. Things are looking up. Things are looking up. Reaching back to the day that it all began. Things are looking up. Things are looking up. Things are looking up.